Thank you. We even have a better crowd tonight than we did last night, and it is.
Sikhona isixuku singcono kunalesi besikhona izolo.
It is exciting to me.
Kuyangithokozisake mina.
To see you souls that are interested in God's word.
Ukuthi kukhona imphefumulo eshabashakela izwi likaNkulunkulu.
And to know that you are brothers and sisters.
Nokwazi ukuthi njeke ningabafoti nodadewethu.
That are traveling the same road that I am.
Enihamba emgaqweni lo nami ngihamba kuwona.
We're on our way to heaven.
Sisendleleni yethu ebheke ezulwini.
And attempting to please our God.
Sizama ukuthi ke sithokozise uNkulunkulu wethu.
I want to talk tonight about unqualified elders.
Sikhuluma namhlanje ngamalunga angenazo impawu efanele.
In Ezekiel, the 31st chapter.
UHezekiel isahluko 34.
I want to read several passages here. Here, Ezekiel is revealing God's word
to Israel.
And he's chastising them for the leaders for not doing what they ought to do.
But
listen, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord,
ah,
shepherds of Israel, you have been feeding yourselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat. You clothe yourselves with wool. You slaughter the fat ones. But you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The stray you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered. Because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over all the mountains. And on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth. With none to seek or search and seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my sheep at their hand. And put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. Very strong words. The prophets against the leaders of Israel. And it's very interesting that he calls them shepherds.
So
we're going to talk about unqualified shepherds.
Before we do that, let me talk about some political things.
In the
U.S., our president,
President Wakon
will serve a 4-year term. And for a maximum of 2 terms. So if we don't like the president, he can't serve more than 8 years. And maybe there'll be enough people not like him that they'll vote him out after 4. In South Africa, I believe it's a 5-year term.
South Africa,
with also a maximum of 2 terms. The U.S. Supreme Court.
They
serve for life.
Or
until they resign. In the South African Supreme Court, they serve for 12-year term and then step down. I like that. So, how long should an elder serve? Some have suggested 1 year.
And
then he has to be re-elected.
Yeah.
We don't elect elders, by the way. Some think that it ought to be for life. I think both of those ideas are rather extreme and both are unscriptural. Our attention has been focused on the work of qualifications of elders with the idea that someday this congregation will be at a point where they can select elders. And a discussion of unqualified elders may seem strange. When you haven't even selected any yet. On the other hand, some congregations are so anxious to select elders that they select unqualified men. They say men that are close to qualified are better than no elders at all. Many of the men who might otherwise serve as elders may not have faithful children. Or perhaps if you have faithful children, but they can't really teach. And the tendency is to go ahead and put them in as elders, saying they're good men. But how much of God's word in terms of divinely given qualifications must we ignore before it gets serious? Ignoring God's will is sin. But it is also dangerous for a congregation. I can tell you from experience of congregations close to where I live. That if there's anything worse than not having elders, it's having elders that are unqualified. Let's look at the purpose of our study tonight. We're going to note the need for elders to remain qualified. We're going to discuss how an elder might become unqualified. And we're going to talk about what should be done in the event that an elder becomes unqualified. The tendency after someone is selected as an elder is to ignore the qualifications. We forget that an elder needs to stay qualified. And even while we're maybe selecting other men for an elder, the men that have already been selected and appointed are overlooked as far as their qualifications. Recall the purpose of the qualifications for an elder.
It's
to find someone that God says is ready to shepherd his people. If we have a man that becomes unqualified, it may be just like the men Ezra was talking to. At some point, that shepherd may lead in the wrong direction. Or may fail to do the shepherding that he is entrusted to do. I'm not advocating a term of office because I don't believe the Bible teaches that. I can't find anywhere in the scriptures where it talks about how long an elder is to serve. But unfortunately, there's things that happen that can make a man unqualified. And therefore, unable to serve properly. Sometimes it's because they get lax. And sometimes it's not of their own choice. Let's identify some of the things that can unqualify a man. In 1 Timothy, the third chapter, and in verse 2,
says,
therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. Sometimes people look at that word blameless and they say, oh, that means he can't sin. I think the Bible teaches that there's no one that doesn't sin. But if a man is an elder and he's qualified, he's going to repent. If it's done publicly, then he would repent publicly. If it's done privately, he can repent privately. But a man could become unqualified if he refuses to repent. Because he ceases to become blameless. An elder may fail to properly shepherd the flock. And thus sin. But he may still be qualified to lead. He needs to repent and begin doing what God entrusted him to do when he was appointed an elder. I don't have the Zulu side of this. I forgot to give this slide to you. But an elder does not necessarily become unqualified because he has changed his mind about some part of the Bible. Elders must continue to grow just like you need to continue to grow in your knowledge. And what would any Bible student do when he understands the will of God more perfectly? In fact, if he is unwilling to change, then he's unqualified as an elder. Because he does not have the love for the truth and has become headstrong. What happens when he has no children at home? 1 Timothy 3, verse 4, it says he must manage his own household well. With all dignity, keeping his children submissive. If someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? Well, common sense says that eventually an older man is not going to have any children at home. Does that make him unqualified? Or is this qualification time specific? You look back at the man's life and say, what did he do when he had children? Did he know how to manage his house? How does his children now refer to him? Does he still have respect from them? So just having no children at home does not disqualify a man. What if an elder's wife dies? This is a little bit more difficult. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2, it says, the husband of one wife. If that was all that was told, in the word, I would think that this too would be a time sensitive command. But God actually gives us the qualifications of an elder's wife. And the implication is that the elder is receiving a lot of help and support from his wife. I know of situations where a wife has died, and the elder refused to step down. And he was not acting as he should. We find that the wife was one that was helping him to round those rough edges.
si uyena unkosikazi uyena okade imsizi ukuthi akwazi ukuphatha kahle zonke lezinto akade ezenza.
And without his wife he became headstrong.
Mase ngaphandle kwenkosikazi wakhe vele ikhanda liqine libe usimand.
Eventually that elder had to be withdrawn from.
Lelo lungu kwafana ukuthi ibandla lelihlamu kwimpela. Lesophweni.
What if an elder becomes violent? Or greedy for money?
Harsh.
Quarrelsome. Or of a bad report in the community. Quick tempered. Or self-willed. For instance, if his sons that are out of his house now are sinning in a public way, they're reflecting on him. And that could be the bad report from the community, people. People are pointing fingers at him now. All these things would disqualify the man. In 1 Timothy 3:7, says, moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders so that he may not fall into disgrace, into a snare of the devil. If he fails to remain hospitable, just and holy, self-controlled and sober-minded, he becomes unqualified. If he fails to continue to be able to teach the Word of God in an effective manner, he becomes unqualified. And that may have to do with his health.
Lokho kungenzeka mhlambe kube ingenxa yempilo yakhe.
Many things can make a man unqualified, and we need to continually, as elders, look at ourselves.
Sikhubeke njengamalunga siyibheka thina.
And be ready to resign when it's time.
Silungele ukuthi sishiye uma sekuyisikhathi.
Well, what do we do when we have an unqualified elder? Timothy in chapter 5, 1 Timothy in chapter 5 and verse 19, Paul is talking to Timothy. And gives us some instructions in dealing with elders.
He
says, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. Does it say that if an elder sins, the preacher is to rebuke him publicly?
Yeah,
that's not what the passage says. The passage says, if he persists in the sin, then you publicly rebuke him. And the reason for that rebuke is that he is a leader and has the capability of leading others astray. And just as Paul rebuked Peter, sometimes an elder needs rebuke. Again, an elder is not necessarily unqualified because he sinned. But elders are not exempt from rebuke. Even to the extent of withdrawal. If they refuse to repent. That's a serious time. If you have an elder who is not willing to repent, being in such a position of leadership can do serious damage to a congregation. And those of you thinking of being an elder, make sure your heart is in the right place. You're there not for pride, but there for shepherding the sheep. We tend to go to two extremes when it comes to unqualified elders. The first thing that generally happens is that we ignore that an elder is unqualified. And why is that? Mainly it's because the accusations that sometimes come on the one who does the challenging. Sometimes the one sees the man, the elder, is unqualified and goes to that man. And if he does not respond as he should as a true Christian, but instead lashes out, makes an accusation, oh, you're trying to split the church. Or you're just a troublemaker. Becomes hard on the person who did the accusation. And also, people don't want the turmoil in the church. So they say, well, I don't know if I should bring this up. But the damage that can be done by an unqualified elder is much worse than the turmoil that will cause in making that accusation. Well, let's look at why not ignore. First of all, the soul of a man is in jeopardy. That elder needs to be rebuked. And if he cannot overcome what is unqualifying him as an elder, he needs to step down. And if he refuses to repent, then his soul is in dire danger. And the congregation will suffer spiritually. I've seen such damage done by unqualified elders. Thirdly, the elder who would lead a congregation to error should not be obeyed any more than the government should be obeyed if its laws conflict with our responsibilities to
God.
The government tells you not to come to church? What are you going to do? God says, assemble. When the government says you can't teach against gays, homosexuals, What are you going to do? If you follow God, you must continue. And so it is with an unqualified elder. If they're teaching something wrong, you cannot obey them. Number two, accusations are accusing an elder of being unqualified because one does not like his actions and decisions. This is the other extreme. Elders decide that that 5 o'clock is a good time to meet. But you want to meet at 7. Now you're upset. You accuse the elder, he's not a good leader. Now, just because we don't like his actions or his decisions does not make him unqualified. And it now becomes a problem of the man accusing. He now is causing trouble. Again, in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, in verse 19, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of 2 or 3 witnesses. That doesn't mean that just because there's 2 or 3 that wanted at 7 o'clock. We're talking about sin. We're talking about something that would make him unqualified. Otherwise, as we discussed, elders do have authority. Even though they're not to lord it over the congregation. They're to lead with love and compassion and thinking the best of the congregation. Not all of their decisions are going to be perfect. But we still need to obey them. Several of the qualifications are matters of degree. When we talk about a man being blameless, or a man being self-willed, or quick-tempered, all of those things are a little bit of a judgment thing, aren't they
not?
Because a man got angry once doesn't mean that he's quick-tempered. And we need to be careful as we challenge an elder and make sure that we're sure. Before we make that accusation. Note that the scriptures do not detail any specific procedure. For removing an unqualified elder. We have no example in the scriptures. But let's examine how we should possibly do it. It needs to start with the elders themselves. In Acts 20 and verse 28, it says, therefore take heed to yourselves. So they're to do a self-examination. And if they're the kind of men that were qualified when they were elected or selected. When they see the problems within themselves and their own qualifications, they should step down. With regard to the man being challenged, the one who thinks that an elder is unqualified should do the confronting. And he should do it privately. It's not something to bring up publicly or to talk about to one another. You need to go to the individual himself. In Matthew 18:15, it's not talking about elders, it's not talking about a man accused of sin, but it is talking about someone who sins against you. But the same ideas apply. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you. That every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. To the Jew, a Gentile and a tax collector were terrible. They would not associate with them. Here we find that in order to save a brother, you do it privately. There's a lot of wisdom in that. If someone challenges you publicly, how do you feel? Oh, you get angry. You want to strike back somehow. I'm being embarrassed in front of everyone. But if someone comes to you privately and with love, you're more willing to listen. So as we think of someone that may be in a position where they are unqualified, you need to bring it to their attention, but in a very kind way. If an agreement cannot be reached, maybe this is something that has to do with a judgment. And this elder is being challenged by one or more members. Who are convinced that this elder is unqualified, that it needs to be brought before the preacher or other elders. This same passage in verse 19 of 1 Timothy 5, he's talking to Timothy and says, do not admit a charge against an elder except the evidence or on the evidence of two or three witnesses. There's wisdom in that. Number one, it's God's word. But even we can see some wisdom there. An elder is someone in front of, leading. And is more likely to be accused by someone. Someone that is jealous. Someone that maybe has been rebuked. Or someone that wants the congregation to go in a different direction. And so we need to be careful. Arbitration sometimes is a wise solution. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 5, Paul is dealing with Christians that have been taking each other to court. And he says, I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you who's wise enough to settle a dispute between the brothers?
Don't
go to court. Get a wise arbitrator from that's a Christian. So sometimes, when brethren cannot agree, you need to sit down with some wise men. And discuss it. It may be that the man is unqualified. And it may be that these wise men can convince him to step down. Or it may be he's not just unqualified at all. And it may be the wise men can make the others see that he is still qualified. In the event of an unqualified elder, it is very clear that if it's very clear that the elder is unqualified, then he should be removed as an elder if he will not resign.
And
Ezekiel 34, we read that passage. The very beginning of the sermon. And he makes it very clear that he will not put up with shepherds that do not shepherd the sheep. I am in favor of elders being examined periodically by the whole congregation. Again, there's nothing in the scriptures talking about
it.
And a lot of this is left up to our own ideas in order to select and appoint elders. But because of the difficulty of removing an unqualified elder, if the elders will willingly allow the congregation to evaluate them on a regular basis, I think you can bypass an awful lot of problems that would arise when men become unqualified. At Kelly Spring Road, where I'm an elder, we have regular times when we do the selection of elders. It's usually every 2 or 3 years. And immediately following the selection of new elders, the current elders will put out a piece of paper with the qualifications of the elders. And a list of the names of the elders. And a question, do you believe that they are still qualified? And if there is a number that say, no, he's not qualified, or for that matter, even one, we deal with that. The man that thinks, or the woman that thinks that the man is not qualified, has stated on the paper why. And therefore we go through and we see, well, is this correct or is it not correct? If a good portion of the congregation was to say that I was not qualified, it would show that the congregation, or a good portion of the congregation, is not willing to follow me. They're not listening to my voice anymore. And it would be time for me to step down. Even if otherwise I'm qualified. That's my idea anyway. It can cause strife in a congregation if there are one or more elders the group feels is unqualified and they do not want to step down. And the method of examination, of course, is up to the congregation. Conclusions. Any elder who does not periodically examine himself to ensure that he still meets the qualifications of an elder does not properly estimate the seriousness of the work of an elder. Elders should be protected from frivolous charges. But they should not serve as elders because of popularity or the length of time that they've been recognized as elders either. Elders must be qualified men. And a congregation is justified in removing a man from the work if he is indeed unqualified and refuses to resign. I hope these thoughts have been helpful. I know there are things that would be in the future. But sometimes when you have these thoughts ahead of time, they influence your direction and the way that you handle things. And can avoid some great conflict. Tomorrow night, I plan to preach on the selection process. Very little is said about the selection process. In fact, I can only really know of one passage that even deals halfway with that. But there are passages that relate to the way that we need to behave.
siphathe ngayo
while we're selecting elders.
Lapho sikhetha amalunga.
And I want to also suggest a selection process.
Futhi ke kukhona nami engizokuphakamisa kube iphakamisa ukuthi nakho ngicabanga ukuthi ngilungele.
It has worked well where we are.
Kusebenze kahle lapho bekhona.
Thank you and I hope to see you tomorrow night.
Ngiyabonga, ngithemba ukunibona kusasa ntambama.